Girlfriends, episode number 364, Hearts of Joy with Lauren Costabile. Hello and welcome to Girlfriends. I'm Danielle Bean. I'm a wife and a mom, and I'm on a mission to help you know your worth as a woman so you can find peace, balance, and joy in family living. This week, my special guest is Lauren Costabile, who's doing amazing, beautiful, much needed work in the world, supporting families with children with Down syndrome. Can't wait to share her story with you. Let's get going. Hey, girlfriend, how are you? Thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to connect with you again right here on the Girlfriends podcast. So how is Lent? We're in the home stretch. I want to just encourage you to know, like, you can't fail at Lent. You truly can't. Like, you can reset your Lent right now and embrace God's plan for you. So just want to encourage you to know that there is joy and goodness that God has in store for you, that God has planned for you this Lenten season and ahead in the days of Easter. So I'm really, really hoping that I can encourage you right now, wherever you find yourself, however Lent has gone for you or hasn't gone for you, you can reset right now. I want to encourage you to know that you can always do that. There are no rules about it, right? Except the ones you set in your own head. So I want to just encourage you to know that. So in these last few weeks, as we're kind of heading toward Easter here, we're getting ready for Holy Week. Next week's show, we're going to be focused on Holy Week, some ideas for Holy Week. Just know that God still is calling you closer to Him. He's calling you to grow in relationship with Him, grow in trust in Him. And that looks different for every one of us. God has a unique plan and a unique call for you. So now is an opportunity. If you need to do so, reset your Lent starting right now. Well, I can't wait to share this week's special guest, Lauren Costabile, with you because she is such a joy and such a source of goodness in the world. The work she is doing is so important, and yet she has such a humility and just a beauty about the way that she shares about what she does. And I just know God is not done working through Lauren yet, but I really enjoyed my conversation with her about the important work she's doing with Hearts of Joy International. Here is my recent conversation. Take a listen. Our special guest here today is Lauren Costabile. Lauren is the founder of Hearts of Joy International, a nonprofit that provides life-saving heart surgery to individuals with Down syndrome. Hearts of Joy International walks with families through the surgery process, providing resources, support, and education to communities, orphanages, caregivers, and parents on the inherent dignity and value of the child. They serve in the Philippines, India, Mexico, Uganda, and right here in the United States. Lauren, welcome to Girlfriends. I'm so happy that you're here.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I am thrilled to have you on because when I saw about your work, I thought more people need to know that this is going on because I had not heard of it before you sent your email kind of introducing me to the ministry that you're working in. Maybe just to get us started, explain, how did you get started in doing this important work?
Yeah, thank you. So I didn't really have much experience until I volunteered at a camp for children with special needs when I was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And this little boy sort of stole my heart, this little boy with Down syndrome. And so I tell the story of, we were all in this big gym and we were all getting our campers and counselors and they were doing the groups. They were assigning mm-hmm. the groups. And I was very nervous because I didn't have much experience at that time, which is so wild to think back to now. But I didn't have much experience. And so I was nervous. I was awkward sort of standing in the corner. And I'll never forget, I looked over and I made eye contact with this boy with Down syndrome. And all I did was smile at him. He smiled back. And before I knew it, he was like running full force across the gym, came over and gave me a giant bear hug. We started chatting. It was also his first year of camp. And that moment really stuck with me because there was probably 100 other people in that room and no one said, hey, Lauren needs a hug or Lauren needs a friend. That's just the person that he is, and the way that God created their hearts mm-hmm. just really spoke to me like, wow, this boy is very special. Wow. And that was sort of like the initial seed that God planted. And then I studied recreational therapy in college and I was really interested in working or being involved with this population. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Nicaragua on a mission trip to a special needs orphanage in 2015. And then in 2017 is sort of where the journey of Hearts of Joy began. I went to Uganda, East Africa for about a month volunteering. And it just completely rocked my world. And it's a very, very long story. We get into it, but God really spoke to me very clearly there, because I was shocked at the way that the stigma against children with disabilities and the way that they were treated and seen as a burden. Mm-hmm. And I thought, these are my favorite people in the whole entire world, that I couldn't accept that in this little piece of the world that they're being treated like this. And mm-hmm. and also, because of that stigma against them, they're not seen as valuable members of society. And so therefore, they're not receiving medical care. And so it kind of wrecked me in a lot of ways. And I knew that I had resources here and that we could do something to help. So,
yeah. Wow. Yeah. And so how long ago was that?
2017.
Okay. So when you very first were starting to help people, you weren't in all of these different countries. How did the ministry come to grow like that?
Yeah. So, okay. So now I'll tell a little bit more of a longer story of how it started, because this is how you understand all the pieces coming together, because it truly is God working in every single step. That's what I say. If you're willing to say yes, it's unbelievable what he does along the way. Oftentimes, at least with me, he doesn't show me the big picture right away, or really ever. I'm like,
That's in the next life, right?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think he does that with anyone. Maybe. I don't know. I can only speak for myself, but it was just those little promptings and those inspirations of the Holy Spirit and the fact that I said yes, that he continues to show me the path. But so when I was in Uganda in 2017, I made a point to visit the Down syndrome community there. Mm-hmm. And so I visited about 10 kids in their home. And like I shared, what I saw was that they were all staying in their homes. They were not being brought outside. They're not a part of the community. And people were ashamed of them, their families. Wow. It was very sad. And the last baby I met was a 6-month-old girl with Down syndrome who had a heart defect. And so no one told me she had a heart defect. I was just holding her and I could tell by the way she was breathing, her heart beating against mine, that she most likely had a heart defect and needed help. Mm-hmm. And God literally told me there, help this baby. That was the initial call. It wasn't start Hearts of Joy and go to all these countries. It was just help this baby. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, like I knew that was not coming from me. That was coming from God. And so I began this journey with this one little girl. And so she went to the hospital. She got her heart checked. She ended up having 3 holes in her heart. Mm-hmm. And I actually went back to America at this point, but I stayed in contact with the family. Mm-hmm. And she needed this surgery. So I did what any millennial would do. I went on my Instagram, my Facebook. I created a video and I said, hey, there's this baby that I met and she needs the surgery. And we raised the money in like 2 weeks. Wow. It was $10,000. Well, it was $5,000 for one surgery. And as we're getting to $7,000, $8,000, I said, oh God, you're up to something else, because we're raising more money than we need for this one child. And so I had taught a class when I was in Uganda to several mothers about Down syndrome. And I explained the physical features. If you ever see a child like this, like take them to a hospital and get their heart checked. That's the most important thing you can do. Mm-hmm. And so the translator from that class was out in the village and actually found a baby because of what I said in the class, explaining the physical features. And she told the mother, hey, this baby has Down syndrome. Do you know what that is? She explained it. And then they took her to the hospital and she ended up having 2 holes in her heart as well. So we're at like $8,000, $9,000. And then I get approached with this, hey, can you help this other child? And I said, yeah, we're at 9,000. We're going to make it to 10. And I was saying a novena to Mother Teresa at this point. I love Mother Teresa. She's such an inspiration to me and my personal patron and also the patron of the ministry. Mm-hmm. And I was praying to her and saying, you know, bring this to the feet of Jesus. Help me here with what we have going on with the girls. And they get rejected from the hospital in Uganda. So I was ready to fly there. And I was ready to be there for the surgeries. And then they get rejected, I find out, because they have Down syndrome. That was the only reason.
They wouldn't do the surgery.
Because they were too complex. So our kids tend to have some other medical issues that can affect the surgery. So basically it's a hole or multiple holes in the heart. That's what mm-hmm. the defect is. And so if you don't correct it, the blood flows into all the wrong areas of the body and it floods the lungs. And so it creates another condition called pulmonary hypertension, which is fluid in the lungs. And so the one baby had this condition. And so they said, no, we're not going to touch her. And then the other one was really tiny, malnourished. She was very small. So They said, no, they have other things going on. And because they have Down syndrome, we won't accept them. So I'm like, God, what am I going to do now? You're like, you're the one who told me to do this. Like, what's happening? Right. I'm trying to follow you. I'm sitting on $10,000 and nowhere to send these girls. So I emailed every organization under the sun. And I mean, every organization, every hospital, children's hospital in all of America, in London, in Italy, in Egypt, like everywhere all over the world. For so many months, it was like 3 months, 4 months go by. And I think I just forgot who I contacted because everyone was saying no, 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 no. And I'm like, what is going on? So I'm continuing to, I pray that novena again. I'm continuing to pray. And I'm like, because Mother Teresa was so blunt with God. I was like, hey, this is what you want. So help a sister out. That's how I felt. Right. And I'm like, please, I know this is what you want. Like, I just, I need some help. And so I finally get an email from a man in Uganda that says, hi, I have an organization and we've accepted both of the girls to go for surgery, but our hospital's in India. So I'm like, oh, India, like Mother Teresa. Okay, this is great. Like, this is a sign that this is where we should go. And then I keep reading the email. And meanwhile, this is not a Catholic organization. This was, I don't even know, just an organization. And so he writes at the end of the email, I just want to let you know that the hospital you're going to is founded by an Indian cardiologist named Dr. Devi Shetty. And he was Mother Teresa's personal cardiologist up until the day that she died.
Wow.
And my mouth was like hanging open.
I
was
she got
like,
you her
what?
Own doctor. I Literally, love it.
I was like, are you kidding me?
You were hooked
like,
up.
This is insane. I'm like, the saints are so real. And if you ask, they will help you.
Yeah.
I was
love
like,
it.
I don't think we realize that enough, like in our daily lives, but right. I was like, whoa, okay, yeah, we're going here. So we went, the younger baby at this point was, she turned 1 year old and then she got her surgery. That's how much time had passed for me to raise the money and then be able to get this hospital. And the older child was 2.5 by the time we got there. And so, like I said, what happens is this pulmonary hypertension can become fatal after a period of time. Mm. And so they told the little baby got the surgery. Then they told me that the older child was inoperable, that she'll never be able to receive the surgery. And then they told me she will not live past her 10th birthday. Oh. And I was just heartbroken over that. Yeah. I said, this is so preventable with education and services. I was like, I have to start something to help these children because it's not their fault. They're born in a society that doesn't understand them or is not able to receive them. I was like, I love people with Down syndrome. I know a lot of people in the States that could potentially help with funding and resources. And God just said, okay, like this is what I want for you. Are you sure? And I was like, yes, we could do it. So I started the organization soon after that because I was just, so compelled. I said, there's so many more of these children. It's not just these two.
Right.
But the whole time that was happening, I had no idea that it was going to launch into this other thing. But looking back, God was preparing me the whole time along the way. And then once we start, so I had always thought we'll take kids from Uganda to India and that's it. Because that's all my experience was. But then once I actually formed the organization and started, the amount of people that reached out to me, no one's ever done this before for our population. You know, can you please come work with us in Guatemala? Can you work with us in Mexico? Can you work with us in all these countries? It was pretty overwhelming, to be honest.
Yeah, right.
And so praying through and discerning, we started in the Philippines. We actually did our first mission there because I got in contact with another cardiac organization that said, hey, we have a ton of children with Down syndrome that really need help in the Philippines. So we went there and we got in contact with the doctors and they're absolutely wonderful. That's one of our main programs. And then we continue to work in Uganda and send the children to India. And then during COVID, we actually expanded to Mexico to help a child who was in an orphanage there who had reached out. And it was just a God moment. Like he's very clear with me because there's a lot of need all over the world. And he's pretty clear, like, okay, this country or that one or leading me because I'm not a cardiologist. I'm not medically trained. So I knew that if I was going to be obedient and do this, I would need a lot of people to help me.
Right.
And without fail, God continues to send those people. It's like unbelievable. So
wow.
I don't know where we'll be next.
I know. I think you're just at the very beginning of something here, which is already huge. So folks, if you want more information, you can go to heartsofjoyinternational.com. When I clicked over there earlier today, Lauren, I saw there's an option to sponsor a child. Is that a way that people can support the organization?
Yes, you can sponsor a child, become a monthly donor, or donate any one-time gift. It goes a really long way in these countries because of the currency differences.
Right.
It literally saves a child's life. So we would just be so grateful. If anyone listening feels called to donate, that would just be so wonderful. Or reach out. I'd love to speak to anyone who feels inspired or called to be more involved with what we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just beautiful, beautiful stories, I think. And there's more to come. How are people finding you? Are you going into countries and still doing that kind of education that you described, where you're kind of describing, you know, how to find these children that have this need?
Yeah. So it's crazy how fast word travels in these small like villages and towns. And we actually have a pretty extensive wait list of about like 15 children right now. So there's no lack of finding children. They come to us. And so we still do those educations. And I travel quite a bit. Like every other month, I'm in another country and we're doing educations. We're helping children. We're actually at the hospitals. But I also have staff, social workers, nurses in these countries that are on the ground when I can't be there.
Right.
And also, it's become this beautiful ripple effect of mothers that have gone through the program with the child years prior. And then because they're educated now and they know what Down syndrome is and they're not afraid of it or ashamed of their child, they begin to take them out to the market. And what's been happening is other mothers are seeing these children out and they're like amazed at that because you don't see them in the community. And so they approach the mother and say, hey, like, what is this that your child has? And then that mother can educate and say, this is trisomy 21 Down syndrome. Have you checked the child's heart? And we've received several referrals from other mamas that we've helped, which brings me so much joy because it's like, okay, like they're listening and they're yearning for the truth. They've just never heard it before. Right. People are inherently good at heart. They just don't know. They've never heard that Down syndrome is a replication of the 21st chromosome, or they've never maybe learned about what a chromosome is. They think it's a curse or something that happened to them because they did something bad. And so we come in and say, no, this is the truth. And God gave you this child for a reason. And we try to build up advocates in these parents. And that education piece is huge because most organizations at the very least will send money. And of course we fund the surgery because that's what we do. And we need to be able to provide that care. But equally important is that handholding or walking alongside them or supporting them through that. Because it's really difficult. It's very emotional. The children are sick.
Right.
You know, they have this debilitating heart defect that could potentially end their life. And so that's scary for a lot of parents. And then they don't know what Down syndrome is. So it's months of training and educating and before they even step on the plane to go for the surgery, this orientations and all these things that we walk with them through the journey. And it's been the greatest challenge of my life, but it's also been the greatest joy, which is why I call it Hearts of Joy.
Yes, I was going to ask about the name.
So it sort of has a dual meaning now after starting the work. But initially it was because I was like, what can I describe the heart of someone with Down syndrome? I was like, love, hope, joy, peace, like all these things. And then joy, just God kept saying, it's joy, it's joy. These children bring so much joy. And then as I've gotten more into the work, I believe that my job and all my team members is to also bring joy into a very dark and difficult situation that these mothers and children find themselves in the hospital and just in their communities where they're just really shamed by the culture. And to bring joy into that, to say, no, like this child is a gift and they're going to bring so much joy into your life. So, our tagline is choose joy. So we have like t-shirts and hats and everything. And even next to my desk right here, I have literally like a sign that says joy. And then just to remind myself, you know, because it's
hard. You're doing it. But, exactly. And you are doing some work here in the U.S. How is that different from the other countries? Because in, you know, in a first world country, unfortunately, we don't see people with Down syndrome very often because of abortion, which is a tragedy. And so, I mean, that's a different cultural kind of battle, I think, that we're fighting here in the U.S. Right. Have you experienced that kind of challenge as well?
Absolutely. And so our work here looks different because of that, because of abortion, because of the resources here. And so we work with women who get that prenatal diagnosis here, who are pregnant with a child with Down syndrome and a heart defect. And we do the same things. We'll provide the surgery or we'll match them with a cardiac team in the States. And then we'll walk with them through that process. But it's challenging because it's much of a fear tactic from my experience of, you know, this child's going to suffer and therefore you're going to suffer. So you need to terminate it. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, why is the doctor saying this? We're supposed to be trusting the doctors. And my first question to every doctor, which they don't love me very much because I'm always like, have you ever met someone with Down syndrome? They don't like that.
That's a good question.
Because there's no way. There's, I just, in my heart of hearts, I don't believe that anyone who's met someone who had an, even in passing or had an experience with a child with Down syndrome, there's no way that you would be saying that if you knew how they are or the type of people that they are. And so, yeah, they I question a lot of the doctors and I sort of advocate and fight back because a lot of our moms don't speak English. They're predominantly Spanish speaking. And they're living in poverty as well. It's just it looks different here in America. They don't have a lot of resources. And so we've thrown baby showers and just helped them to choose life. And and then after connected them with resources for therapy and, you know, schooling after the child receives the surgery and is doing well, you know. But it's just as much as a difficult process here than it is in other countries. It's just it's different because of abortion. I mean, the stigma is similar, which is sad. And if anything, like that is what I, the mark that I hope to leave on the world is like people hear me or experience Hearts of Joy and realize that there's something more for people with Down syndrome, that they do matter like everyone else and that they have a purpose. God has a plan for their life, just like you and I. Who are we to say that that should be ended or that they don't have a chance to live. I think oftentimes too, which I share often with my staff or people that work with me is especially in America, we define our worth based on what we do. So what is your job or how much money do you make? What kind of car do you have? What are you going to do for the world? Which is not the best mindset.
Kind of pathetic.
And so, yeah. I'm like, so I tell them it's not what you do. It's simply that you are the fact that God created you because some of our children may never get a job. They may grow up and not be able to live that life that deems them worthy, but they still are worthy of having the surgery, of living, of being here just like anyone else. I don't believe that it's what are you going to do for me or for the world? It's just simply that you are, that you're created. And so you have a place here.
Yeah. What beautiful work. What I mean, it must be, I mean, it must be so rewarding. But what do you find as the founder and the one who's kind of driving this operation? What do you find is the most challenging part of doing this work?
I think it's very physically taxing. I travel often. So we'll see how long that I can keep that up because I'm getting a little, I know I look very young, but I'm getting older. But God knows because we're hoping to expand teams and have multiple people traveling and doing that on the mission team. But I would say when I first started this, I had my heart and my eyes on the children. So I did not plan for the experience with the mothers, the education piece and how crucial and important that would be. And so culturally speaking, there's a lot of cultures that we work with. And I grew up here and they grew up in, you know, Uganda or the Philippines. So it's a very, very different. I find that to be the most challenging, but equally the most beautiful because what you can learn from each other is priceless. And it's really so beautiful, but that's something that I didn't intend for or even really see in the beginning, like, oh, wow. And then everyone who's like, who is in the medical field that's like, oh, yeah, pediatrics, you're basically just working with the parents. I'm like, oh, well, no one told me, you know, like I didn't know that. And I was learning. And but it's hard. And then, of course, you know, financially, the more money we have, the more children we can save. And right. that's just what it is. Right now, we're still a baby organization. We're going on 4 years. Literally mm-hmm. next week will be 4 years of wow. starting this. So yeah, it's, you know, learning and getting just acclimated to mm-hmm. to everything. And yeah, things constantly growing, and there's always growing pains in the beginning. So
yeah,
but it's good because I feel that God is preparing me and the organization for something beautiful, you know, yeah. and it's worth it. It's worth it for one child always, and one family. That I say, we heal the hearts of the child physically, but we transform the hearts of the parents and the community.
Yeah.
But that's our goal. That's what we strive to do. So.
Right. Oh gosh, yeah. What a beautiful work you're doing. I am just Thank in you. Awe of what's going on over there. And I can't wait to see Thank where you. Mother Teresa is going to bring you next.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's got bigger plans. I promise you.
She's my girl. She's amazing. I'm like,
oh, that's
and apparently
so
we were like the same height. So I'm like, I love that. I am like, this is great. I went to actually the opportunity to volunteer in Calcutta. Oh mm-hmm. gosh, was that in 2019? A little mm-hmm. bit ago. And they have this like museum of her in the mother house. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. like her sweater, her shoes, yeah. like little things on display. I was like, holy cow, her sweater is so tiny. Like, I don't even know if I could fit in her sweater. I'm like, this is just so inspiring to me. I'm like, she was so tiny. I love it.
I know. I know.
But
wow.
Yeah.
A little woman it's with really a big, cool. big heart. What a beautiful yeah. thing, and a beautiful, really cool. a beautiful model, and a beautiful patron saint for your organization. I don't know if Absolutely. She officially is, but I know she's praying for you up there in heaven. Such a beautiful
yes.
thing.
Thank you.
Well, okay. So folks, you can go to heartsofjoyinternational.com to get more information, find out how you can support this beautiful work that Lauren and her colleagues are doing around the world and hoping to expand. So you can find ways that you can support that work. Also, I'll have the links to the Hearts of Joy Facebook, you know, Instagram, all of those social media channels so that maybe you can help spread the word by clicking and sharing and letting other people know that this good work is being done in ways that we can support it. Lauren, I want to thank you for coming on Girlfriends to share about this important work you're doing. But even more than that, I just want to thank you for the light you are in the world. It is Aww. So very needed, so very needed. And, you know, I think about these countries you're going into that are, you know, impoverished countries, but then the ways that you're going into even our own country, which is impoverished in a different way, I think is so important, so valuable to be speaking that life-giving, loving message of the inherent value and worth of every human being. Thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, thank you. And thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful to chat with you.
Yeah, I loved it too. God bless you and the good work.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Father Mike Schmitz. I am the host of the Catechism in a Year podcast. If you've been following along with us, you know that God's plan for us is a plan of sheer goodness, that He wants to bring us into a relationship with Him. You know that already. One of the ways that God actually brings us into this relationship and keeps us, sustains us in this relationship is through the sacraments. Again, you might know that already. You might further know that so many of us miss out on the beauty and the power of the sacraments. But Ascension has an answer to this. Ascension has created two new programs. One is called Renewed, Your Journey Towards First Reconciliation. The second is Received, Your Journey Towards First Holy Communion. We know that our youth, they're our future. And yet at the same time, it's so hard oftentimes to reach them with this incredible news of God's love for them in reconciliation, God's love for them in the Eucharist. If you want to check out Ascension's new program, Renewed, Your Journey Towards First Reconciliation, and Received, Your Journey Towards First Communion, go to ascensionpress.com and sign up for a free preview.
Welcome back. All right, this is the point in the show where I like to share some listener feedback or a question from a listener. And actually, this is kind of helpful feedback that I heard from listener Hannah, who is responding to feedback from another listener going back a few episodes. There was somebody who wrote in about accessing Catholic books without breaking their family budget. So Hannah wrote this, "Hi Danielle, I just listened to a recent episode while I was rocking my one-year-old to sleep. And the listener question at the end was about getting Catholic books without breaking the bank. We go to a parish that has a library. It's small and staffed by volunteers, but has books and movies for all ages that you can check out just like a regular library. So even at a smaller parish, a little free library box might work. Or a bigger parish, maybe she can start a library. Just a thought. Thanks for your podcast. I often listen while I'm feeding my sourdough starter before bed or when I was exclusively pumping and I needed something to help me stay awake. I hope Lent continues to bless you. I'm officially joining the church this Easter vigil this year. So this Lent feels different than years past for me. Grace and peace, Hannah. First of all, welcome to the church, Hannah. I am so thrilled to know that this is your year. I'm going to be praying for you, and I know that God is going to just shower you with blessings this Easter season. What a beautiful, beautiful time of year for you. So looking forward to hearing about that. But thank you, too, for your feedback about that. That's such a genius idea. Like, it truly is, because anybody can do this at their parish. You just start out small. Maybe you're going to start out with just 5 books, right? But maybe you could start by putting some of your own books that you have in it and encourage other people to share their books in that way. We all have books that we love and we know are useful and valuable, and we'd love to share them with people that are just sitting on our bookshelves. So having a Catholic library at your parish is genius. I love it. So hopefully the woman who wrote from a little while back, maybe I'm just going to forward your email to her anyway, because it really is a great idea and a great way to share more Catholic materials. So you could start small at your parish, but like you said, a larger parish, maybe even the parish would be willing to fund it and, you know, to get it started in some way. But that's the kind of thing that can just really grow, and you've got nothing to lose just getting started doing that. So I love the idea. And welcome to the Catholic Church. We are so glad you are here, Hannah. What a thrill. And also, I love hearing about that you listen like while pumping, while feeding your sourdough starter. Like, for me, that's what Girlfriends is all about. Like, we're just connecting through the everyday stuff of life and the unique ways that we're called as women to kind of live out our faith and family lives. And I love that we can connect through it, and that we can share in all of our different spaces and our different little corners of the world with the different things that we have going on. And I love that we're able to do it here on the podcast in ways that people are listening to the podcast. I love that we're also able to do it through the Girlfriends community. So if you haven't checked out what we're doing there, it really is a natural extension of what we do here on the podcast. All the topics and kinds of things we're sharing about here, we are also sharing about in the Girlfriends community over at girlfriendscommunity.com. If you haven't come over and joined us yet, we would love it if you would join us. It would be a joy to have you with us. And we do things like book club. Right now, we're working our way through a book club. I don't know if it'll still be going on by the time this publishes. I'm recording a little bit ahead of time. But, you know, reading good Catholic books together. Once a week, we have a video call where we talk about virtue and how to grow in virtue. And we just share the ups and downs and the things that are going on in our lives. And then everyday prayer support on the community, the website itself, where we share, and always an opportunity to ask questions, ask for prayer intentions and that sort of thing. So would love it if you would be a part of what we have going on there. If you enjoy listening to the Girlfriends podcast, you'd be a natural fit. We would love to have you there. So check it out over at girlfriendscommunity.com. All right, but that's all the time we have for today. But I'm so thrilled you were able to join me here today and share my conversation with Lauren. I hope you're going to check out all the good stuff she has to offer over there at Hearts of Joy International, all the ways that you can support her. Remember, that's going to be in the show notes for this episode of Girlfriends. And to subscribe to the show notes, all you have to do is text the word girlfriends to 33777. That way we will always be connected. You will never miss an episode. And you will never miss all of the links and the good things that we share here on the podcast. But for now, I just want to thank you for being here. It's always a joy and a pleasure and an honor and a privilege to connect with you right here on the podcast. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your day and God bless your week. Girlfriends is a collaboration between DanielleBean.com and Ascension, the leader in Catholic faith formation.